This is probably the hardest subject I ever dealt with. It's the most common story in the Bible, but it's the hardest subject to explore. It's about the visit of the Magi and the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament. We take it from Matthew chapter 2, the first 12 verses. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Israel with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them the time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. In about 2 days' time here, we'll celebrate the birth of the most significant person this world has ever or will ever know. Jesus, who we learn to be the Christ, the Redeemer of the world, and the Savior of all who place their trust in him. But the subject this morning is not so much just his birth, but what his birth, death, and resurrection brought about, and how it would be the only avenue by which all people, Jew, Gentile alike, would be able to know and would be able to board that same train to eternity. Well, some of the first people who, without full knowledge of what Jesus would become, was a small group of wise men, or magi. So who were these guys? Where did they come from? How did they even know? And how could a star tell them that and then direct them to the very house where Jesus was? To be perfectly honest, I never bothered to look into the background of this until now. As a matter of fact, my son and I, we were discussing the validity of Scripture. And he said, "Dad," he says, "I can't be like you." He said, "You just blindly accept everything you read in the Bible." He said, "I can't do that." He said, "I need evidence." Well, it turns out he was right. And I don't apologize for having just blindly accepted what I read in Scripture, because I know Scripture to be true. It is the Word of God. So, anyway, in my search into this subject, I learned some things and facts that are pretty unique. Well, we'll start with who these dudes were. The name Magi is just the Greek version of wise men or sages. They could possibly have been priests, but for sure, they were astrologers. We know this from their statements in explaining their presence in Israel. In verse 2, when they came to Israel, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him, assuming that everybody in Israel would know right away. That statement alone would have set alarm bells ringing, because star interpretations and fortune telling were forbidden by the Lord God of Israel. Not because they were phony, but because they bore a resemblance to reality that could be more dangerous than what people could handle. So the ban was for their protection. And also it was much like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in Genesis, in that Satan uses it to separate us from the sovereignty of God. It would also be assumed that they may have been sorcerers, so it didn't take too long before Herod caught wind of all this. And in all likelihood, they came from Persia, or Iran, as we know it now, a journey of about 1,500 kilometers through some very rough terrain and mountains, as well as a very large desert. So it was by no means an easy trip. There's some interesting facts about these folks that might somehow explain how they came to know about the birth of a king through the foretelling of a star. Their religion would most likely have been Zoroastrianism, a faith that stated there was a constant conflict between the forces of good and the forces of evil, and that eventually the forces of good would be victorious at their hand. A lot of similarities to Judaism. The leader of the good side was Ahura Mazda, and the leader of the bad side was Angra Mainyu. I had fun with that one. Ahura Mazda or an angry Toyota, I don't know. Anyway, astrology played a big part in their understanding of life and philosophical reasoning that led them to believe that they could renew the world on their own power and totally defeat evil. And even though Ahura was considered their creator, he does not seem to play a major role in this renewal. Their religion was started by a fellow by the name of Zoroaster around 600 BC. We've learned that from Scripture that foretelling of the future, seances, and speaking with the departed was something that was practiced, but on the sly, because it was condemned by God. And all of us constantly desire to know what the future holds. But Satan led astrologers to use the stars to label and predict who and what people were and would be, and also the future events. As well, we know that the spiritual realm is definitely a reality, as in the case of King Saul when he went to a seer to contact Samuel, who had already passed away. So we probably should not find it too strange that astrologers would be influenced enough by Satan to come up with some fairly accurate information. Anything to do with the natural world, of course, was predictable. You know, like astronomical events like bypassing asteroids, shooting stars, eclipses of the moon and the sun. But for the most part, the rest was learned from another spiritual realm through the use of celestial objects. So it was out of this environment that the Magi came. But it still begs a question, how did they know? Well, one of the standout features in the Old Testament was that whenever the Israelites were captured and taken to another country, they never ever forgot their faith. Not their faith, not Jerusalem. You know, that was still the main part of their life. And their attitudes often played key roles in the affairs of the countries that they were taken captive in. Take, for example, Joseph in Egypt, the servant girl in Aram in dealing with the leprosy of Naaman. There are more instances as well. So in digging a little further, knowing the dates of the events, the religion begun by Zoroaster was within the same time period that Daniel was in Babylon. There, he was promoted to chief of the wise men, so he had a real in there. He was promoted to that position because of his unwavering and inflexible commitment to God, who gave him the power to interpret dreams. than for two Persian kings, Daniel's consistent faith forced them to acknowledge Jehovah and also to promote Daniel to the position of chief of the wise men and sages. So it wouldn't be a real stretch to understand that Daniel would have had a following among the sages to whom he could teach his own faith as well as the prophecies that would have pointed to the coming Messiah. Any student of the Old Testament knows that people from many other lands were knowledgeable of the God of Israel. And even some of the predictions of a coming Messiah or king, such as we read in Numbers 24, verse 17, a star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter or king shall rise out of Israel. Over generations, the Babylonians would have adapted some of what they had learned from Daniel to their existing faith in astrology. Now, about 600 years later, a star appears that these astrologer magi took note of. Obviously, they had even anticipated the coming of this star. And all of a sudden, there it was. And they took special note of it. As I was reflecting on this, we know that the wise men came a while after Jesus was born. You know, the scene with the wise men in the manger didn't happen. So I got to thinking about this star that was coming up. I wonder if the star didn't appear the moment Jesus was born. And that's what the wise men saw. And that star led them forward. Anyway, they responded to it. And even though they followed the star all the way to Bethlehem, I believe that their response was one of faith, based on the fact that it was Judaic scripture written under the influence of the God of heaven. Not that the star really told them anything, because it was no normal star. It was a star introduced by the Father specifically to herald the birth of the King. This single star led them all the way to Judah, even right to the house where the family were staying. Rather peculiar for a star, wouldn't you think? Have you ever followed a particular star in the sky over a period of time? I have, with a large telescope that we have. But there was never a star close enough that I could say I could follow. A shooting star, perhaps, but I'm not that fast. The next question from this story would have to be, why? What motivated these people to travel for two or more months to come and see a child they believed was a future king? Verses 9 and 10 read, "And behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." At first I thought they were full of joy because the anticipation of this star was to be fulfilled. Or maybe because their search was coming to an end. But as I look at this more, I see more. This small portion of scripture shouts about the fulfillment of the anticipation that motivated these wise men to travel great distances over a long period of time to seek out a future king. Although we feel that they were influenced by God, primarily, they were also influenced in a small part by their religion, a part that anticipation was a fact that a better life lay ahead. So they would become part of bringing this good portion of life renewal about. Well, they weren't the only ones living in anticipation of a coming king. All of Israel was as well. As a matter of fact, ever since the fall, the promise of future restorer or redeemer was looked forward to. This is demonstrated when the Magi went to inquire of the whereabouts of the new king which was to be born. Well, this caught Herod off guard. So he checked with the local priests and scribes who informed him of the prophecy of the book of Micah. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So as the wise men continued their journey, they reached Bethlehem exactly to the spot where Jesus was. In verse 11 we read, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. First worship, and then they present him with their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Although we don't know the quantities that they gave them, we can assume they were fairly substantial, because you wouldn't travel no 1,500 clicks just for a few dollars worth. But that was not the only gift of the Magi. In order to answer that, I would like to play two short video clips which I feel presents the real gift that was made. These two clips are from the movie The Nativity Story and are a very poignant illustration of the anticipation that everyone was feeling, most of all Mary, Joseph, the Magi, and the shepherds. Although it shows only the shepherds, what they experienced was in essence ushered in by the Magi. We catch the action where Mary and Joseph are on their last leg of their journey to Bethlehem.
These shepherds, they live alone most of their lives.
Your woman looks cold.
Just for a moment. I will tell our child about you. About your kindness.
My father told me a long time ago that we are all given something. A gift. Your gift is what you carry inside.
What was your gift?
Nothing. Nothing but the hope of waiting for one.
That shepherd could not have known that the gift they were all waiting for was in Mary's womb, as he himself had pointed out when they met him in the field. Now we catch the scene as the shepherds, the first to receive the news of the birth, they make their way into Bethlehem.
Rejoice! Rejoice! I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You will find a child wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
Are you well?
I have been given the strength I prayed for. Strength from God. And from you. He is for all mankind. We are each given a gift.
Although these clips dealt with the shepherds and how this was indeed a fulfillment of all the promises made in the Old Testament, it was the Magi who several months before followed a star that would bring them to Israel. The true gift of the Magi then was God leading them to usher in the fulfillment of ancient prophecies, as well as demonstrating to all the world that God keeps his promises, and that each one of us as well have received a gift of incalculable worth. Even though there were numerous prophecies and many of those quite plain, there is one that stands out, meant not only for the comfort of the Old Testament folk, but it has the same meaning for you and me today. The fulfillment that the Magi ushered in was a guarantee of something that the present wise men of today say we don't have because life is without purpose or a positive future. What do they know? Hope. Without it, life definitely has no purpose. Something that we're witnessing today amongst our young people. The number of suicides and the displays of anger are very, very prevalent. Who needs more hope than people who feel they have no purpose and no future? Many prophets, I feel, had a Holy Spirit-led vision of the future. This included Jeremiah, who expressed the future this way in chapters 29, verse 11 to 14, where he writes, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord." Now take this scripture that was meant for the hope of Israel for the coming Messiah. I translate it this way, that after having witnessed the fulfillment of the coming Christ, because we have that knowledge now, how much more can can you and I look forward to the promise Jesus made when he said he is coming again to receive, redeem all those who love and dwell in him? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they have value for sure. But the real gift that the Magi gave was their faith response to bring about the fulfillment for us all of the hope and future that are ours in Jesus the Christ, if we seek him with all our hearts. When Jesus returns to earth, will he find faith? The faith to look forward in eager anticipation to his coming? Am I in that group of believers? Are you? All it takes to experience this is to accept the invitation we are given to belong to the only one who can give us this assurance. The choice is ours, and I know for a fact from my own experience that he will not fail you. And you can test him in this. Praise God for his unspeakable love and gift to us. Can we pray? Words alone, Lord God, cannot express the comfort and joy that we have received through this indescribable gift. A gift that death on a cross assures us of a future and a hope that has been and will be our salvation. Thank you for that gift. In Jesus' name, amen.